Are you tired of living with the pain of the past? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to go beyond what we ever dreamed was possible.
When we really get right down to it, in this auditorium this morning, we're just common folks. We're just sinners who've been saved by the grace of God. There's jail keepers in here, and there's business women in here, and there's people with a lot of past in here and been through lots of problems and drugs and difficulties in their life. What do we have in common? We have Jesus in common, and with Jesus in common, we can see great things done for the glory of God.
We all have things that try to hold us back. Guilt from past mistakes or temptations that we can't seem to overcome. It's easy to learn to live with these problems and accept them as who we are. But God has called us to reach forth and fulfill a greater calling in life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Reaching Forth, Dr. Chappell encourages you to leave behind negative mindsets and the limitations others have put on you, and to reach forth to new levels of victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Reaching Forth Spiritually.
Well, the Apostle Paul often used athletic metaphors to describe the spiritual journey that he was enjoying and to challenge others on their spiritual journey as well. He had seen many of the sites of the ancient games. He had seen the Colosseums at Athens, and he had seen, no doubt, the Colosseum at Rome and other places such as Corinth. And he understood, as the Holy Spirit gave him these words, how to apply an athletic metaphor such as reaching forth, someone that's moving into a race and challenging them to approach the Christian life, not with a lackadaisical attitude, but with a spirit of faith in God. And I do believe it's important that we have not just a powerful, positive mindset, but a biblical mindset as we enter into this new season of life. And I think many of you perhaps have had a few days, as I have these last few weeks, to just ponder what are some of those goals that you might think about may have to do with family time or maybe with your health or maybe with your finances, and just exactly what do we need to accomplish. Terry and I were talking the other day. We talked about maybe joining Weight Watchers this year. And I said, yeah, I could bring the donuts to the first meeting and kind of welcome everybody in, you know. And she said that would not be a good idea. And some people think about, you know, the physical things like that. One man was asked what his New Year's resolutions were, and he replied, I really don't know. My wife hasn't told me yet. And some of you understand that as well. So, you know, all of us putting these lists together, thinking about, you know, where are we heading? But this morning we see a very poignant passage of Scripture that can give direction to all of us with respect to reaching forth. This particular passage was written by the Apostle Paul to a group of believers in Northern Macedonia, Northern Greece, a place that was very impoverished. It was a place that was suffering under Roman rule, a city about 9 miles from the Aegean Sea, northwest of the island of Chios. And this particular region always amazes me, especially the first century history of it, because they were impoverished, they were going through difficult times, and yet, from this place of Philippi, there was a Christian church established that raised up and became a powerful lighthouse for the gospel. They were difference makers in their society. Although poverty abounded, they were one of the most generous churches ever to be written about in the Bible. They met needs every time they possibly could. And so the Apostle Paul came to the city. Now, his habit was to go into a city and go to the Jewish synagogue and begin reasoning and debating about Jesus Christ as the Messiah. This particular city, however, did not have a synagogue. Many historians believe they were perhaps anti-Semitic. Whatever the reason it may have been, Paul went into the city realizing there was no synagogue. He goes to the riverside, another gathering place, and he begins preaching the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I like sometimes to get the background of a book of the Bible and to know a little bit about what the context is. And it's interesting to see how churches get started. And so when we study the context of the church at Philippi, the first one we read about, going back to the book of Acts, chapter number 16 and verse 14, we read about the first convert at Philippi. And it was a lady, and her name was Lydia. She was a businesswoman. The Bible describes her as a seller of purple. And she would go down near the seashore, and she would find these particular shells that were there. And these particular shells had some chemical extract that she would create purple garments with. And so she became a seller of purple. And as she was there near the river and where the ocean would come in, collecting the shells, she no doubt heard Paul preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. And the Bible says that she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of her heart. Well, if you read more in Acts 16, you read the next person that came into the church, of all people, was a demon-possessed girl. She was the subject of human trafficking. The men that were her owners were using her in a work of divination to try to foretell the future, and they were using her, taking advantage of her. And the Apostle Paul saw what was happening, and in the name of Jesus Christ, she was loosed from the demonic powers. She received Christ as her Savior. And as I said a moment ago, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. My friend, when Jesus comes into your life, no demon can ever take your life again. And her life was radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now we have a businesswoman and a struggling young woman who's coming out of a terrible life of her past. And then we read a little further and we meet the third member of the church at Philippi, and he was the Philippian jailer. And remember, Paul and Silas, the song said a moment ago, they were in jail because people didn't like them preaching the gospel. So they were in jail, and while they were there, the Bible says at midnight they were singing praise to God. They were blessing his name, and suddenly an earthquake comes, and Paul and Silas are walking out, and the jailer was fearful for his life because jailers could lose their life if the prisoners escaped. And so he came to the Apostle Paul with that famous question. He said, "Sirs," say it with me, "what must I do to be saved?" That's the greatest question of life. And so many churches have so many answers to that question. And Paul said to him very simply, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and all thy house." And that jailer believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was saved gloriously, and there you have the beginning of the church. A businesswoman, a demon-possessed, formerly demon-possessed girl, and a jailer, and they got together and impacted a region of the world for Jesus Christ. And I love that because, folks, when we really get right down to it, in this auditorium this morning, we're just common folks. We're just sinners who've been saved by the grace of God. There's jailkeepers in here, and there's businesswomen in here, and there's people with a lot of past in here and been through lots of problems and drugs and difficulties in their life. What do we have in common? We have Jesus in common, and with Jesus in common, we can see great things done for the glory of God. Amen. And that's what we learn at Philippi. We learn about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul is writing to them, and he's challenging these new believers that they would reach forth in their quest for Jesus, in their quest for knowing Jesus, in their quest for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his challenge, he gives them three simple principles that I want to give you this morning, because I want to see Lancaster Baptist reach our area for Christ. I want to see our church make a great difference for the glory of God, so that no honest history is written of the city of Lancaster without mentioning the work of this single church, that we would reach our potential for the glory of God. How can that be accomplished? Well, three things Paul shares, and I give them to you this morning. First, we must enter with a spirit of humility. Now, go ahead and write it down, because it's a good word just to meditate on. Humility. You see, a lot of the psycho-cybernetics of this world, the power of positive thinking, they kind of approach it the other way. They tell us that we should look ourselves in the mirror and pump ourselves up saying, "We're great, we can handle it, we can get it done." But the Bible seems to go the opposite way. And the Bible says, no, if we're going to get anything done spiritually, then we need to start with humility, which is to simply say, without God, I can't get anything done. Now, why do we say humility? Well, let's take a look at verse 12. What does Paul say? "Not as though I had already attained." Look at verse 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Now, what a humble admission. We won't take all the time, but if you studied Paul's life, he was schooled in the school of Gamaliel, a tremendous education. As a Pharisee, he was touching the law. He was righteous. He had memorized whole books of the Bible. He was an amazing leader. He was an amazing soldier. And yet he sets all of that aside and he says, but I have not arrived. And if any of us are going to grow this year, we've got to come to that place. We can't say, I've done this. I've been there. I have this education. What we need to say this morning is, I'm a student sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. I have not arrived. I don't have all the answers. I haven't been through every season of life. I haven't been to every planet to know. I haven't attained every degree. I have much to learn. Paul says, I have not attained. I have not yet apprehended. And Peter said, for God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And we need God's grace this year. And that's only going to come as we humble ourselves before the Lord and as we admit that we need his help. You know, lifeguards tell us that the hardest person to save is a person trying to save themselves. When a lifeguard swims out to that person that is struggling and perhaps about to drown, the first thing they say to that person is, hey, look, just relax. Just let me bring you in. Stop trying to save yourself. Can I tell you this morning, you cannot save your own soul. Only Jesus can pay the price for your sin. And you cannot solve all of your own problems. There comes a point in time when you say, I only have so many resources, but I have not apprehended. God, I need your help. It was a humble admission that was made here. It was a very honest admission. He says, either we're already perfect. He said, I'm not perfect. In fact, he says in 1 Corinthians 15:9, I am the least of the apostles. And I know how it is. Sometimes we come to church and we should. We try to look right. We try to act right. We try to hold our Bibles right. So all these different things. But let's just come to this place to say, it doesn't matter what you're looking like today. It doesn't matter where you went to school, how much money's in your bank. Look at all of us are at the same starting point today. We all need God's help this year. In fact, the Bible says without him, we can do nothing. So it's a very humble admission for the Apostle Paul to say, I count not myself to have apprehended. And can I say that sometimes the hardest people to get to understand this are those of us who've been Christians a long time. Because we can get to thinking, well, I know that, I've learned that, I've got these standards, I'm more holy and righteous. And what we need to recognize is none of us have arrived. All of us need to learn. And so it was a humble admission. It was also an honest admission. He says, either we're already perfect. You see, no one is ever going to be saved if they have never confessed the fact that they're a sinner. You see, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, if we're saved, have had a point where we've said to the Lord, Lord, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I ask you to be my Savior, because the church can't save us from our sin. The baptistry water can't save us from our sin. The fact is that only Jesus Christ can save us from our sin. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we must humble ourselves before the Lord. You say, well, I have been saved. I've trusted Christ. Well, then may I say that if you're going to be able to lead, if you're going to be able to serve more effectively, we also must say, I've got a lot to learn. I've got a lot of listening to do. Moses said to God, when God said, I want you to go into Pharaoh, Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses said, I'm not qualified for this. I don't know what to do. God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going to go, he said. And that ought to be your prayer and mine. Lord, if you don't go with me, I'm not going to go, because I cannot make it without you. It was an honest assessment that Paul the Apostle made. He was humble in his assessment, and may we have that spirit. But not only was it an honest assessment, I want you to notice there, letter B, that Paul became easy to direct. He was easy to lead. Now notice in verse 12, it says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story.
Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on